Now, is there ever a question that could be asked of you that you would respond with a negative first? Can we think of a question that it makes sense to give them a negative answer first? Yes, ma'am. No, that's not what I'm looking for, because you could do the opposite. You can say, were you a teacher there for so many years? How long were you there?
3.
There you go. I was a contributing member of the faculty for 3 years, and frankly, the school system was doing very well, and we were all pretty pleased to be there. But recently, there was a restructuring, and I got caught in that. So that's why I'm looking for a new opportunity, which is why I was excited to hear about a teaching assignment with your school system. Can you tell me more? Is it 3rd grade, 4th grade? Which I wasn't clear which one it was. No, I'm asking you. I'm just pretending. I'm mock interviewing here a little bit. Okay. So, what question could you put? What question? I'm fumbling over the. If you were going to be responsive up front with a negative, what would the question have to be? Okay. If I asked you, why were you fired from company X?
Just tell the truth.
Why were you fired? What happened? What did you do? If everybody knows that happened, okay? If you start talking positive, what does that sound like for that kind of a question? Doesn't it sound like you're really trying to make up excuses then? Deal with your mistake. When you make a major bonehead mistake, deal with it. But don't deal with it like this piece of meat, like this. Little piece of meat still, but it still put a nice big fluffy butt in the bottom. What you learn from that experience. Hopefully everybody learned something from something like that, right? That's the only time you deal with that up front. Tell the truth. Remember I said it earlier, you can't lie. And it's not a lie to use this technique. All we're doing is making it a little softer impact than it otherwise would be. If we hit them over the head with a meat, when you hear your mouth opening and the words are coming out and they sound negative, you're hitting them over the head with the meat. Okay? That's all they hear. Because it starts with the meat. So start with a positive bun, get to the meat, then go to the next bun. Okay? That's what you got to do. Okay. So, point 4. Salary negotiations. You could be a really good candidate for the job. Okay? And you can lose an opportunity right here. Because the job you had before paid you too much, or, of course, nobody ever gets paid too much, right? But in their perspective, it probably is. So how did they arrive at the effect, or the decision, I should say, that you were paid too much, or you're making too much money? Where's that come from? Why do they decide it's too much money? They will always ask you something like, give me some sense of the kind of money you need. What are you looking for? We don't bring it up, right? But they do. So how do you deal with salary negotiations? I'll just throw one more illustration here because I got a chuckle. When you walk into a car dealership, what's the first question they ask you? No? That's it. Because you can back into that number 100 ways. Okay? I had the advantage, the opportunity back when I was consulting, to actually have someone who had been the sales manager at a dealership for many, many years. And in interviewing the gentleman, I had a very nice conversation about how they actually make money. So I had an opportunity to, you know, learn right from the horse's mouth where all the hidden numbers are and how everybody negotiates and wheels and deals. So all these years, I've been able to use that to my advantage so that I don't get taken advantage of, I guess I should say. That's a better way to say it. But what's happening here is they're asking you, how much money can I get you? What's the cheapest I can get you for? What's the lowest amount of money you'll take? That's what it comes down to. They want to know, are you even close to what we're paying here? Every job posting board, all these things that you respond to online, they all want to know, what did you make? You even brought it up. You know, where did you start? Where did you finish? Who cares where you started, where you finished? Really, what they're looking for is, did you get raises? Were you promoted 3 or 4 times? They're trying to get a trend of that. Where are you number-wise? All right. Every job that exists, well, maybe not every job, but 99.99% of them in an organizational structure has something called a salary range. a budgeted salary range. They have to put together a compensation plan in order to be able to project budget. So just because you made X doesn't mean they got to pay you X. The job is what they're trying to cover. So they're trying to find the best fit, but they also have to work within the confines of that particular job. So let's, for the sake of illustration, say that there's a job out there, whatever that job is, and it pays $50,000 to $75,000. That's the range. Now, this would be considered the fully qualified range. So fully qualified means, in this illustration, 5 to 7 years experience, bachelor's degree in business administration, primary management experience, let's say. You know, at least 1 year. I mean, basics, okay, real basics. So there are resources out there for compensation planning where you can go online and look at surveys and say, for this kind of background, in this kind of role, in this kind of industry, in this kind of geographic, with this size company demographically, here's the average range that we pay that person. So for the sake of illustration, it's $50,000 to $75,000. Okay, so what's, well, let's make it a little easier. Let's see, if I was to do this at 40%, let's make this real simple, and we'll just do 100,000. Okay? That's a little broad, but it'll be easier for the math. Let's assume for a moment, forget about the numbers, just understand that there's a range for this job. If the person comes aboard and we want to hire them, but they don't exactly fit this role, maybe they only have 4.5 years experience. There's another range down here that's entry level, and another one over here that's a high performing. So what typically happens is this range might be less 10%, and the one in the other one is plus 10%. You really got probably a 40% spread around midpoint for a broadbanding type compensation structure. Okay? So if I want to hire that person, my budget tells me I should pay them 40, 45, because they're less than this, because it's below this. Okay? On the other hand, that's probably, this is extreme. Let's just fix this. Let's say 70K. Okay? Because I'm in this situation, we know that midpoint's probably 60, right? So now I can probably pay this guy maybe 75. For the guy that's got 8 years experience and working toward their graduate degree. They're going to do the job, but I got to pay them something fair. Now, why do I care that the last job they had, they were making $60,000? This is what the job pays. That's what my budget says. But when I hire somebody, I have to consider what they've been earning, right? But that's not necessarily how I pay them. I pay them based upon what we value the job to be within the organization. And every job that exists out there has one of these. Every job. There's a comp range for every position. And usually it's a pretty big spread. I mean, it's not 50 to 100, but it's at least 20%, one end of the other, usually. And they layer against one another. So this is role one, then level two, then level three, and they kind of overlap so that this person can get promoted and get moved into the entry level of this job, which is the high performing level of this job. And that's how you set up a compensation plan. Then you can project more effectively what total compensation will be and how you put a person in the role. And when you hire somebody, you hire them and you put them into this role. You can pay them between 50 to 70, but you base the decision on three factors. What will they actually be doing? So for example, when I hire an MRI technologist. We have sites in around the country where we scan 5 patients a day. That's not a lot, okay? Small hospital, 5 patients a day. Technologist may be just as good as the next technologist, but that site demands 5 patients a day. This site over here in Chillicothe, Ohio, has 5 patients every 20 minutes. 3 different scanners. It's constantly cranking. The techs are working their butts off. So I have to look at what are their actual qualifications. You know, where do they fit? 5 to 7 years. Where are they in the continuum? What do I actually expect them to do? And are they high performing or not? Okay? We don't really know high performance until we've had them for a while, but we can get a sense of that based on the reference and check background verifications we do on a candidate. That's what they will do with you. If a company doesn't do background check, they're crazy nowadays, absolutely crazy. Background verification and drug screening was the first thing I put in place in my company when I got there 11 years ago. How do you not do drug screening in a medical company? Do I want somebody touching a patient, putting them in an MRI scanner, having them high on drugs? Are you kidding? That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. So the point is, they will do that. If they want you, they're going to make you go through a background and all that stuff. So they're going to find out how high performing are you. And they will make a decision on those factors where to put you in the range. That's typically how it goes. It won't matter that in the last job you made $100,000. Okay? That's not what they're paying you for. They're paying you for this job. In fact, if you made $100,000 in this last job, chances are you won't get this job. Okay? Because they'll think if we hire you, you're going to leave in 3 months when you find the job that will pay you $100,000. So that's why there's always this fit thing going on. So now you understand that there's a range, right? So how many of you believe me? Raise your hand, please. Do you believe me? You don't believe me. Everybody raise your hand because it's absolutely true, okay? It is true. You can talk to anybody in HR, they'll tell you this. It's true. Now, how many of you believe that you will only get paid this end and you really don't have much of a chance to get this end? How many of you believe that once they make you an offer, that's the offer? Take it or leave it. Might be. Might be. Because you can do other things, like take on some coaching activities, which gets you better. Well, yeah, that's my point. Every job has flexibility and compensation. It depends on what you're going to do for that role. I have not seen this to be the case where this is the number, take it or leave it. They might tell you that because they don't want you well enough to give you more money. And I'm not saying you personally. But they might take, that's where they are with that. This is the far we're going to go with this guy. End of story. Okay? But every job has flexibility. So they're going to ask you. They know this. Remember the Johari window? This is hidden information. You want to know what this is, don't you? But you don't ask. Don't ask. Let them ask you. Then you can ask. So they're going to say, we have this job available. We think you're the candidate. We'd like to consider putting a package together. Give me some sense of what you earned in your last job. What do you tell them?
A range.
A range? Did you earn a range?
Yeah, based on if you got a bonus.
What do you think? That's good.
Something under a million.
The total compensation package, base, bonus, incentives, was in the mid. That's where you want to go. You don't want to say, my base was this, my benefits were that, I got this incentive plan. You definitely don't want to do that. There's a range involved because some years it's better than others, if you have, in fact, an incentive situation. But you never say, my base salary was $28,000. You'd say high 20s. Give some flexibility to it, okay? Now, some companies will make you produce your W-4 to see if you really did get paid that much money. Has anybody had that happen to them yet? Yeah.
I've seen it on websites.
Yep. They'll make you do it. Some will actually have you do it. Yep. I have not done it yet, but I've been tempted, and I can tell you that several times. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what they made before because I'm going to pay them what I can afford to pay them, and they wanted it, take it or leave it. Sometimes I'm pressured because I really want that guy, and okay. It's kind of like the car dealer who really wants to make the sale. Sometimes they'll come in and they'll lose money on that car. Okay, so the range says, here's the range. And they want to know what you're willing to take. So you'll tell them, well, my total compensation package was in the mid to upper 50s. And do you stop there? They open the door, right? You didn't ask the question. They asked the question. So now you can turn it around, use a segue, and ask them the question. It's fair game. They brought it up. What did you earn in your last position? Well, my total compensation package, base, incentives, and so on, it varied from year to year depending on company performance, but it was in the mid to upper 50s, often low 60s on occasion. Can you give me a sense of how your compensation structure is set up here? What are they going to say? No, I can't tell you that. Well, we have a similar plan, base, bonus, that kind of thing. What's an acceptable base salary? What kind of target are you looking for? Now what do you say? Remember what I said earlier. Whoever gives up the number first loses. So what do you say?
Go for the jugular.
Go for the jugular? Interesting approach, but I wouldn't recommend that. We're getting close over here. Go ahead. Yeah. Basically, let me say it this way, Mr. Jones. We really had an enjoyable conversation, and I think we're probably in the same ballpark. I would only tell you that I'd be willing to consider any offer that was commensurate with my responsibilities and no doubt the budgeted range you have for this position. Can you give me some sense of where we are in the ballpark? Did I give him a number?
No.
I made him tell me where the ballpark is. Probably what they'll do now is they'll say, well, yeah, we're pretty close. So you're acceptable to something in that ballpark? I'd be willing to consider any offer you thought was appropriate. It is your job to accept, reject, or negotiate the offer. It is not your job to make the offer. That's their job. They make the offer. You accept, reject, or negotiate it. Okay? Don't forget that. You can earn $10,000 like that if you just do this smart. It's stupid, like we all do. And the reason for that is because we want to be honest. You know, well, I made this, and I'm worth that. I'm really worth this kind of money. You could be worth a lot more. You just don't know it. You don't know what their compensation structure is. And incidentally, while I've demonstrated pay ranges, every company has a compensation strategy. You know, do we want to be at market, 50th percentile? Do we want to be above market to attract the better people? How about below market because we don't care how many people we turn? Some companies want that, okay? So, like insurance sales, a lot of them want that. They want to get that sales guy in, turn them over quick, get their contacts, move to the next guy. Believe me, that there's no question that they're not going to pay at the upper end. Some of them want that lower turnover. Doesn't mean they all do it, but there are strategies out there for that. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, and even that's not, if they send you the rec with a number in it, that doesn't mean that that's the final number anyway. That's probably the target it recruited. But if I found a person that had like 8 years experience and I know that this is the top of the range at 70, if I really wanted to get them, I could probably push it to 80 if I had to. I'm going to work something in. Like, you know, we're going to go ahead and give you a $10,000 signing bonus to get you where you need to be, but your base will be 70. Mm-hmm. But essentially, I've paid them 80, yeah. Even though the rec said the range was 70. Okay. I mean, there's ways of getting around all this stuff. The bottom line of the whole thing, though, is no, they probably don't reveal it. Some companies do, though. Some companies say, if you're an MRI Tech 1, here's the pay range. And if you're an MRI Tech 2, it's over here. So the person, of course, who's an MRI Tech 1 wants the high end, but they want to know, how can I become an MRI Tech 2? That can actually be healthy in the right context. You want people to aspire to do better to get more money. It depends on the type of role and the incentive involved. Yeah.
But one
thing that I don't. That's news to me, but it wouldn't surprise me that that would be the case because you could sustain unemployment by just saying, well, they offered me 50, I wanted 52, so no. But when it's extremes, they can't force you to take an extreme difference in pay. But that's the problem. Now you got a review board trying to judge what's extreme. It's subjective.
Right, and they're saying that it's
for the position.
Yeah, it's just that's a reverse application. You can say anything you want to, right? I mean, at the end of the day, it's the same way the employer says, you know, why didn't you hire me? You know, well, you weren't bubbly enough. We heard that earlier, right? Could have been that they just didn't like her. You know, her personality was not conducive to the team. But, you know, you don't want to necessarily make somebody feel bad in the process. So, yeah, I mean, if that's what it takes, I this is news to me. I'd have to.
Their address, phone number.
Yeah, that's the same accountability aspects. They've been holding people accountable, and you know, in part, that's because you know, unemployment is running. How many weeks? It's a year and a half or something now.
Yeah.
So you know.
That
yeah, don't let that. That's really misleading.
People are running out of the benefits.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stop looking because they're not counted anymore. That's not really true. All right, so the important takeaway here is there's definitely a salary range for every job. If you are, in fact, in the sweet spot of qualifying for that role, there is some flexibility in what they can pay you. So when they ask you, what are you looking for in compensation, point B says, talk about opportunity. That's more important. You trust them to make an offer that would be acceptable. Now, they're going to come back at you, and they're going to make you an offer. And I said, it's your job to accept, reject, or negotiate it. So let's assume now they want you. You've been through 5 interviews. You went through all this blah, 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 blah. You're the person. They make you the offer. It's $50,000. Okay? There's no doubt you could probably get at least another 5, if not probably 10, if you really press. So what do you say when they say, we're going to offer you 50? How do you feel about that? Now you're there. They want to make you the offer. Here it is. We're going to offer you $50,000. You ready to get started? Now, your last job was 48. What do you say? Well, I got to have at least 20% more than I made before. What do you say? I'll take it. $50,000. I've been unemployed for 6 weeks. I'll take it. Is that what you say? What do you say? That's not far from that's not far from reality there. That's really what you're looking at, the total compensation package at the end of the day. But you'd say, is that's the offer? Well, I would really have to take a look at my total compensation package, and I'd like to take this home and carefully consider it and review it. May I get back with you tomorrow with my answer? They might likely say, well, what will it take to get you to commit right now? So what do you say? Well, I got to have 52 or forget it. No, you come up with a number, you lose. Let them come up with a number. Well, Mr. Jones, I'm sure there must be a budgeted range for this position, and I appreciate that you've got to place me in there somewhere. I'd be willing to consider, you know, obviously whatever you think is appropriate, perhaps something in the mid to upper 50s. So what is that, 54 or 59? You just have to be able to. That's it. You got to do it. If you don't do it, they're not going to say, you know, we like you so much, we're going to pay you the top of the range just because you're a nice guy. Doesn't happen. That's not reality. So you have to be flexible. You've got to be, let them make you an offer, you make the decision, okay? Once, if you go home and you think about this, that gives them a chance to sit back and say, we're going to lose this guy. Do I really want to go through that whole process of recruiting all over again, and I got the perfect candidate in my hands? I can't come up with $5,000? Are you kidding me? Believe me when I tell you, they will. Every time. Very rare that they wouldn't. Okay. At a minimum, if they can't come up with a number, what else could you negotiate? Well, potentially, but not necessarily, because companies are real fussy about that. You're brand new. Susie's been with us 5 years. You want 3 weeks. She only gets 2. She's not yet due for her third. She's going to give you 3 coming in? Insurance has to be relatively treated equally and fairly. You can't discriminate. Yes?
Flex time, maybe.
Flex time, possibly. Possibly.
4-day work week.
That's flex time. You could negotiate early review. The most impactful is an early review. I know your normal process is to review annually. Could we potentially consider my adjustment after 6 months of employment? Early review is not out of the question. You've demonstrated you're worth it, so why not pay then? You basically split the difference, right? You didn't get it today. You got it 6 months later, but you got what you wanted. You just got it 6 months later. So at least you got something. It was better than nothing. Okay, so you can negotiate the offer. There's all kinds of stuff. There may be off-tax benefits. You know, sometimes you can get some of this. It's harder to find. You know, the IRS is making it really hard. But there are off-tax benefits. Like, you know, now they can give you a free cell phone. That's not considered de minimis. But you can do that. So what's that worth, $100 a month for somebody? That's worth something. $1,200 a year. Okay. Anyway, there is that possibility. When you accept the offer, you guys decide, okay, I'm taking it, it's $55,000, blah, 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 blah. You want to confirm that to them in writing. Thank you, Mr. Jones. I'm excited to be coming to work for your company. As I understand it, my offer stands at $55,000 base, plus incentives, plus benefits. Looking forward to hearing the details on these other items. Looking forward to starting work September 1st. Respectfully, Clyde. And they're going to send you a letter, more than likely, with all that information, but you're confirming it so that everybody's on the same page. Now, you can do that by email, too. Written letters are way better. We didn't really talk about that much. But after you interview, you always want to be sure that you send a thank you note to whoever. Maybe five people on the panel, get all their names, send them all notes. Best to do it handwritten, okay? It has a greater impact that you took the time, sat down, did it the old snail mail way. You know, and it comes a couple days later. You ran home, went to your computer, ding, hit an email, and 30 seconds later it's in their inbox. Not that. It's better that they kind of remember you, right? You were there 2 days later, all of a sudden that nice note comes in the mail, and, oh yeah, I remember that guy. That was really, because by then they've probably seen three or four other people, right? And you stand out again, top of the mind awareness. Now make sure, of course, when you handwrite your note, it's legible, it's grammatically correct. Doesn't have to be, you know, with little pink butterflies and lambs on the front. Thank you. You know, a nice, plain business thank you card is sufficient. No perfumed cards, none of that stuff. Okay. Last segment. Round and turn, heading for home. Maximize every opportunity. This is another thing you should be looking for. All right, so you get to the job. You've just spent all this time. You've invested research. You've done your homework. You've gone through all the hoops, you bared the burdens, you shared your life's problems and all your weaknesses, you did everything you could possibly do, and guess what? It's not going to fit. You're not the candidate. It's not going to work. Oh boy, ho-hum, and you walk away? Is that what you do? What do you do? What's the best option? Without question, you would thank him. They took the time, just like you. They made the investment. They're just as disappointed, potentially, as you are. But is that the only job this company will ever hire, position they will hire? No. You could be considered for anything within that organization. You immediately want to turn it into another job opportunity. Mr. Jones, now that we've had a chance to interview and you get a feel for my background, I'm disappointed to hear that I won't necessarily fit this level 3 role. Sounds to me, then, I'm guessing I'm probably more in a level 2 category. Are there any opportunities for a level 2 position coming up anytime soon? Now, if Mr. Jones is smart, he's going to keep your resume in his folder so he doesn't have to go through all that stuff again, because you're a great level 2 candidate, under the assumption that, in fact, you are a great level 2 candidate. Okay? So it might be that at the end of the day, you could have another opportunity there. But let me back up a step. Let's assume for a moment that you've gone through this interview process. You've come to the end of it, and you haven't gotten an offer yet. You don't know what's going on. But at the end of your verbal interview with that person, you want to thank them for their time. A little closing statement. That's what it says there. Recap the interview, close the interview. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for taking the time to see me. I've really enjoyed our time together. I've learned an awful lot more than I thought based upon the conversations we've had. The research told me a lot about the company, but you've really filled in some of the blanks, and I appreciate that. I am, of course, very, very interested in the position. Now, you got to sound like you really care. Hey, thanks for seeing me. I'm interested. Let me know. You know, you got to sound like you mean it, nonverbal. Okay, thanks a lot. You know, Eeyore. Yeah, the Eeyore complex. Yeah, call me. Hey, call me. So at the end of the day, you thank them. Enthusiastically. Then you go home and you write your thank you notes, okay? That's got to happen. If you don't do that, you basically want to sell yourself one more, kind of present yourself one more time. I really feel that I can meet your expectations here. We've shared a lot of information about the position, and I hope that I've illustrated to you my confidence and ability to meet your needs and help you relieve some of this pain that you're dealing with. I'm anxious to hear more and perhaps have further interviews or get started at your discretion. Could I ask you what the next step might be in the interviewing process? It's not just, okay, thanks, let me know, bye. No, what's the next step? What's going to happen now? Because I want to keep track of this. And you need to keep track, okay? If they tell you, well, we're going to look at the other candidates, we'll be back to you in a week, what do you do at 8 days? You call them. You don't think they're going to take your call? Yeah, they'll take your call. They don't want to lose you either. So, yeah, I'm just calling. I don't mean to be a pest, but you indicated about a week. It's been a little bit more than that. I just wanted to follow up and show you I'm very interested. When might we be able to meet again? You want to try and get in there for further discussions if you can, okay? So follow up. See point C? Stay on top of the situation. It's not over till it's over. You think it's over on that panel interview?
Oh, yeah.
May not be over. Oh, yeah. It may not be. When did it happen? When did it happen? What interview? How long ago?
Well, let me think. It was a couple months ago.
Oh, a couple of months ago. Okay. I thought it was recent. Yeah, it's over. But chances are you could have rebounded from that.
No, I'm good.
I'm good. That's the typical. We regret to inform you that we chose someone that had a bit more qualifications. I call those ding letters. Because I know when it's like the knockout bell, you know. Yeah. I hate to send those letters, but you got to do it. You know, it's wrong not to. People need to know where they stand. Anyway. Again, it's not over till it's over. Even though that job didn't play out, there could be future consideration. So when you're in the middle of an interview, and unless something extreme is going on that just is not right, and that can happen. You know, there are interviewers out there that are just unethical. They'll do things unprofessional because it's just the two of them in the room. Two of you in the room. They'll say things, do things. Unless something like that happens, it's never over till it's over because you may not necessarily want that job, or maybe that's not the right fit, but there could be another opportunity. So you try to turn it into something.
Now,
Yep. It's a typical close, you know, and they will. They'll hang it because, number one, they have to keep the file on hand because they've got to demonstrate if they get audited by the DOL that this is the people they didn't hire and this is the people they did hire, and here's the reason. They have to have it on file. They're not doing you a favor. Not necessarily, but I would have put something in there to keep it moving. Perhaps we can get together on another opportunity or, yeah.
That's what I was trying to do.
Oh, no, what you did was correct. But keep in mind, again, if it's over, and it really isn't really over till it's really over, like we just said, at worst case scenario, you may be able to network on a RAIN interview. Remember we talked about RAIN, right? That's warm now, right? It's a warm referral. You may be able to talk to that person who you just spent hours with that kind of gets a sense of you, but maybe you just didn't fit, to network you to somebody else. Mr. Jones, I'm disappointed to hear that this doesn't happen, and based upon what you've told me, it doesn't look like another opportunity is going to present itself for some time. And gosh, well, I really would like to work for your company. I'm afraid I can't hold out that long to wait for something to develop. But in consideration that we've spent so much time together and you kind of get a sense of my values, what I have to offer, can you recommend one or two people I could speak to? Not that they're looking to hire me or anything, but somebody in your field, in our mutual field, where I might be able to at least talk with them about what's going on in their company, maybe plant a seed here or there. Most employers will do that because they already let you down. You know, what I typically hear is what happens. Somebody said they called back and why didn't you hire me? How come? Can you just help me out here for my next interview? Why didn't I hire? That's really, really dangerous, you know, because once you go on record saying X, Y, Z, it's dangerous. So you always come up with this fluff, you know, well, your qualifications didn't quite fit our expectations and blah, blah, blah. The best thing you can do is get a referral to somebody else. And that would ultimately, that's why it says intercompany referrals. So in other words, you go from, you know, best case scenario is you're hired. Okay, well, they can't hire you now. So the next best case scenario is something else will become available internally. But now maybe that's not possible. So the next possibility is referring outside to another organization. So you're kind of going from, you know, best to worst to absolute worst. Intercompany referrals, okay? Remember, that person knows a lot of people. Okay, so you can decide, but I think these principles will work for you. So we've covered basically the five primary models that we discussed, the Johari window, the communication model, the time curve, all that stuff, teeter-totter, right? We covered all that. We looked at the interview from both sides of those teeter-totters, right? Both sides of those windows, both sides of the volleyball court. You see how all the models kind of relate to both sides? It's intended to do that so you remember, okay? From the employee side, now you know what you can do to maximize your interview directly. Ask the right questions. Ask them in appropriate structure. Use the segue model. Don't talk about hours, salary, benefits, travel, and relocation. You know, don't. Where's the beef? Use the where's the beef approach. You can do all that stuff. If you do what we talked about today, you will improve your interviewing chances tenfold. No question about it. No question about it. It doesn't matter how many resumes you send out. If you, when you get to these interviews, you screw it up. So all this stuff works together, right? I mean, you got to, number one, like we said when we started, you got to get ready. You got to get focused. Get your head in the game. Know what you want. Identify your targets. Determine where your goals will be. You know, what are you trying to do now, 3 to 5 years from now, so on and so forth. Identify that. You can't do anything else until you do that. Okay? Make sure you understand. And it doesn't necessarily have to be one option. It can be multiple options. Maybe you have this job, and maybe be an entrepreneurial opportunity. Could be. You got to explore all the options. If you're looking, now's the time. So put that in place. Then put a marketing plan in place. Use every channel into the market. You're a can of soup. You're going to get to every shelf you possibly can get to. You're going to get to every consumer that could potentially buy your soup. But you're not rolling soup down the street, right? You're very carefully targeting the right markets. You're going after the right opportunities. And then when you get there, these techniques will be applied for interviewing. Okay? All right. We will now be happy to take any of your questions directly if you have anything in general, any questions that relate to what we talked about today.